When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Open wide for some soccer, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Brazil and Portugal are through and Ghana got a big win. It's Tuesday, 29th of November. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
I'm Lars Hewitson.
Everybody, it's your terrific Tuesday here on the Football Ramble. Lars Simonson, your World Cup debut podcast this time round for the Football Ramble.
I think I messed up the intro. I don't think I said my name correctly, but let's crack on. It's the hardest part of the pod for me. You know, it's like when you're trying to get on an escalator. Like, you got to time it. You got to time it right. Like,
Well, did you come in too early to come in too late? I don't know.
Something went wrong with that intro. Okay. I'm not sure about it.
Go on, then. How do you pronounce your name?
If you don't know, we don't
We have a lot to get through in this episode, Marcus. We really don't want to get sidetracked this early on that. No.
Lars Sivertsen, then, is not how you do it. Peter, you good? You cooking?
I'm good. I just don't like the fact there's no football on at 10 a.m.
Yeah, you miss, we do.
I love the fact that there's no football on at 10 a.m.
Yes,
as a completist.
Are you proper box set, man?
I've missed one game so far this
Which
tournament.
Which one was it?
USA.
Australia-Tunisia, because I had to go somewhere, so I was on public transport.
Would you like to apologise to the Australian?
I would, because Australia won, which I was very happy about, but I missed it. Apart from that, I've watched all of them, but does kind of take over your life, both in terms of because you want to consume content and also ideally create some content.
Yeah, there's very little. You've got half an hour.
Really,
when am I meant
to make this content? It's really, really tricky. So now we're back to some kind of human schedule.
Yeah,
I'm excited about that.
But choices do need to be made now.
No, they don't. You have more than one screen in the house, don't you, lunatic?
You never watch a game if you do that.
You really do. What you do is that you have one on the TV, one on the laptop, and then you have the sound on from the game you're not paying. You pick one to pay attention to visually and one to have the sound from. Okay. And then you look up when there's a chance.
I was watching the...
I don't recommend that to anybody.
I was watching the Argentina-Mexico
you get
match
used to it.
And playing Far Cry 6, which is based in Mexico, on my dual-screen setup. Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah, you see.
Is it based in Mexico, immersive. Or is it an ungodly collection of Latin American stereotypes?
No, it is. They've actually sort of went, yes, this is Mexico.
Oh, right, okay,
for once,
enough.
It's not like they just put a yellow filter over everything and go, it's somewhere in South America, Central America kind of thing.
Yeah, I did play the previous one that was set in sort of...
the Philippines or something?
No, the one in America that was like in sort of kind of Utah, a little bit of Montana.
In the Bible Belt, that was good. And a lovely Roy Orbison track featured in one of the hot parts.
I've
very
no
good.
Idea what any of this is about, but I'll take your words for
it's
it.
It's about first-person shooters, yeah?
Let's
move on from Far Cry 6.
I want to talk about Serbia it's, 3,
it's
Cameroon
a, it's
3.
It's at the point in the Far Cry series where no one has talked about Far Cry apart from me and Lars. Nobody cares about that
I want to
anymore.
Talk about Lions.
Okay.
Not the three lions, the indomitable lions.
It could be Far Cry 7. It's set in Africa and you can have a pet lion this
exactly.
night.
Let me remind you, it is your debut. Okay, let's get you off to a good start.
Oh, he's got time to talk now. It's 10 a.m.
I'm
going to
be like Andre Onana. I'm going to play one game, be a little bit rogue, and then get sent home.
And then you're going to be sent home for not adhering to the coach's rules.
Maybe that's why Andre Onana has been sent home. He kept talking about Far Cry in the team meetings.
It seems unlikely, but we can't rule it out.
Guys, I've played this incredible game. Shut up, Andre. We're playing Serbia.
I believe the reports are true, because when you hear that he wants to play the ball out from the back and start moves and all the rest of it, and Rigobert Song's like, what are you doing? Just get it long. And then you hear, look at his career history. He started at the Samueletto Academy. He went and played youth football at Barcelona. He played at Ajax. You think, he's definitely not a long ball type of guy. No. He's at Inter now, of course. But 3-3 it was. The man who came in for Onana did concede 3 goals. But fortunately, Cameron
dominatable
scored. But what about Vincent Aboubakar? Come on. He was slagging off Mo Salah before the tournament, saying, I'm not impressed by him.
It's
I can do
what
he does.
The Shania Twain of football.
Although maybe not slagging him off. He was just saying, as you say.
It doesn't impress me much.
Yeah.
That's a solid joke.
Yes, it's a very good joke.
I prefer your Ubisoft stuff. Sorry, Marcus.
That's all right. I just want to say that when he came on, he impressed us.
Yes, he impressed us much. He's very good.
I can't think of any shit.
It's just great sort of giving it the big one and then coming on and doing that. It's like, well, fair dues.
Do you know what? For his goal, which was a scooper, I think he thought he was offside.
It was
which is why he did it.
Yeah, I completely agree.
That's why he did it.
You reckon? More than anything, this was a triumph of VAR. VAR.
People say VAR takes away goals. VAR gave us that goal.
The VAR taketh away, but the VAR giveth.
Indeed, Lars, because when he goes through, he thinks, oh, well, I'll the whistle's not going. I should do due diligence here. And he goes, I'll scoot. There you go. Flicks it in and walks off. And then when it was given, he couldn't believe his luck. Yeah. He's like, well, I'm getting that.
I think it wasn't a scoop or a chip. I think it was a lift because it was on his toe for too long.
It's a scoop.
It's a snooker shot. It's a vertical snooker loopy shot.
Oh, now you're talking.
I just realised, I think this exact same thing happened with Gianluca Scamacca at West Ham earlier this season.
Oh, right.
It wasn't offside then, but it was a handball. He accidentally controlled it with his hand, and then he kind of half-heartedly chipped the keeper.
Yes.
And didn't celebrate, because he's like, this game ruled out, it hit my hand.
Yeah, yeah.
And then inexplicably, like the VAR was like, that's fine, Gianluca, you go on. And he was like, wait, what? I scored?
Do you think that there's maybe a rule that if the finish is so good, the guy or whoever's doing VAR just goes, go on.
Or is it just a footballer thing? If you think it's getting ruled out, you've got to try the chip.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
Default setting.
It was a lovely goal. There's no two ways about that.
It was and a lovely line from the Serbians.
Well, I tell you, what, he did it twice. They didn't learn. They did not learn.
We're 3-1 up against Cameroon. What are we doing here? High line, boys. Let's put it up. Have we got fast defenders? No, they're all slow.
Yeah.
Are we good at keeping pressure on them? No, we're not. We're a little bit chaotic.
It's only a Boubacar. Oh, he's broke through twice.
It's really good.
He timed his runs superbly.
Really well.
Superbly.
And he's not a speedy boy. He's more of a muscular and centre forward type of man, so you wouldn't really expect it from him.
He's an all-rounder, because when he burst through when they were 3-2 down, they thought, well, it's a bit of an angle. Put it on an absolute plate for Chipper Moting.
Absolutely.
The ex-Stoke City man, what's he doing at the World Cup, Lars?
He's banging in goals for Bayern. He's had the most inexplicable Indian summer I can remember.
Indeed, yes.
At the age of 33, suddenly becoming very good.
I'm pleased that he got on the score sheet as well. But yes, so that was this possibly was the game of the tournament.
It was
so
much fun. Mm-hmm. And I do want to flag up the third Serbian goal as well. Just great in terms of there were 3 points when you think you're going to finish, but they played an extra pass. Yeah. I love that.
Well, that was interesting because obviously Cameroon took the lead, although Serbia should have been up. Mitrovic missed a great chance. And I was a bit concerned for old Mitro, because in the World Cup in 2018, Serbia were in with Brazil and Switzerland as well, weren't they? They were in the same group. And Mitrovic, I think he had a couple of chances. I don't think he scored. And I thought, oh, is he going to get himself a World Cup goal? Well, of course, when he missed that chance of that arm Mitro, and because he'd hit the post as well, and then Cameroon go a goal up, much to the delight of the Cameroon bench. That was a long way to get over to the celebrations, but they made it there. Fair play to them. But I mean, it was only 29 minutes old, the game, and they were just 1-0 up. So I thought, okay,
is that premature?
Yeah, I mean, I know they've not had a great time of it of late at World Cups, Cameroon, because they've regularly knocked out in the first round and so on. It's a long time since they really made an impression on a World Cup. So yeah, they were very pleased, obviously.
I'm not sure a lot of people were like, oh, you shouldn't do this, run on and celebrate. And maybe, yes, you shouldn't. But it's also, I don't hate it. It's a big moment for them.
Scoring
a goal at the World Cup is a big moment.
Hmm. Is it a bit disrespectful, though?
To whom?
To FIFA.
In which case, everyone do it immediately.
Well, no, but I think it was more the fact that it's they're sort of weaving in and out of Serbia players, trying to get to the other side of the pitch.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And you do create unnecessary potential for confrontation and aggro.
You do.
I'm very, we'll get onto it later, but if, say, it's Switzerland against Serbia,
yeah.
Someone does a goal and everyone keeps running, I think you'd... Someone might be tempted to trip or punch.
Indeed.
It's a chaotic situation.
Indeed. And then, of course, when Serbia scored their second goal, they were all on the pitch and so on. So it was 2-1. And then, of course, you talked about that Mitrovic goal. In fact, I think I'm wrong. I think Mitrovic scored in the previous World Cup. I think he scored against Switzerland. But he scored here, and it was put on a plate for him because it was a beautiful move. And the manner of that goal suggested Serbia going to go on.
Yeah.
4-1 maybe, or take it, play it out.
And
lads,
they had a couple of other moves in that period of the game where it looks like Cameroon are just cooked here. This is not looking good for them.
Yeah, and they're a tidy side, Serbia.
They've got really good players. And it doesn't always gel together that well. But they're the individual quality is strong.
What's a head from Pavlovic?
Yeah, it was a nice one.
Beautifully. I think that's the best. Is that the best goal from a defender this World Cup?
You've put us on the spot there.
Get back to me on it.
Harry Maguire later.
That's okay. He was very
John
involved.
Stones overhead kick.
There you go. I after Serbia, as I say, they sort of came to life. You thought, here we go. This is it. They're finally clicking. They're playing some tidy stuff. Tadic is kind of pulling a few strings and whatnot. And as I say, Mitrovic is up and running. But they didn't manage the game very well. As you say, playing a high line like that, which they didn't really need to. And then Cameroon came roaring back.
Strange behaviour.
Yes, indeed. I mean, I did disagree a little bit with the commentator when they were like, oh, well, a point's no good for either side. It was a bit sort of disparaging. You think, well, hang on, Cameroon were 3-1 down and were essentially going out of the tournament. Mm. Really. Now you can say, well, they don't need to go and beat Brazil, but they're still alive.
Yeah.
And I think that's it, with sometimes in the groups, a bit like with Costa Rica beating Japan. It's very unlikely that they're going to go through, but they're still alive. And I think sometimes that is very underestimated. If you're a team who get knocked out after two games, and believe me, I know, That happened to England in 2014. Wow. It really is so rubbish when the third game there's nothing on it.
And this is an extremely rare moment, which is that me as a Norwegian person can speak from some World Cup experience, which is saying... going into the last group game with 1 point and playing in a Brazil team that
who
has nothing,
already qualified.
Exactly. That can be a really good starting point for a moment of great national pride.
Yes. All you need is a leggy forward to score a lovely goal and a penalty decision, which was rightly given.
The shirt was like a flag, Marcus. It was the blade.
And
no VAR required.
No, not at all. So I do agree. But an interesting one, as I said, for Cameron, you know, before the game, they changed the goalkeeper. And then, as I say, the 3-1 down, they get it to 3-3, and you never know. You never ruddy know. Switzerland need to beat, Serbia need to beat Switzerland. And of course, Switzerland, you know, a point you would think would be enough because we do expect Brazil to beat Cameroon, having just said all that. And Serbia against Switzerland, we remember the needle from the match before at the World Cup. And you know, if you want to find out about that, do your own research, quite frankly.
Yes, there's go on the internet. Yeah. Be critical of the sources. You know, don't just believe your uncle on Facebook. It's a lot of strange stuff out there.
There is.
Spoken like a true Infowars man.
Yeah. Switzerland were beaten 1-0 by Brazil. Casemiro got the only goal. Slight deflection, but a lovely strike nonetheless.
Yeah, I saw Piers Morgan thought Ronaldo should have been awarded that one.
Oh, was that right? Yeah. He got his toe on the or something. Gilberto Silva described Casemiro before as Brazil's invisible man. Is that a compliment, Peter?
I don't know. It depends on what he's up to.
He goes missing?
Or if he's in the changing rooms?
Yeah. I think
looking,
it is.
Looking at stuff?
Indeed.
Wrong.
I think it is a compliment. I don't think he's suggesting that he's a devious little sausage.
Right. If he's pretending to be a poltergeist in Piers Morgan's house, two thumbs up.
Okay. Well, Brazil, now I'm beating.
If you were invisible, is that the house you'd head to first?
Yeah. Well, I'd warm myself up for the big hit.
Yeah.
The really, truly awful people. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Brazil are now unbeaten in 17 World Cup group stage matches. No team has ever done that before.
Yeah, we keep these stats pop up, and you're like, oh, look, these stats live every 4 years.
Yeah.
they we forget about them, then they live again.
Okay. Switzerland failed to get a shot on target in the entire game. Is that a stat that's going to come up again in the next game? You would hope not.
No.
But yeah. Did you see those chaps who were from South Asia, I think? Right. Massive. There was like three guys who were massive Granit Xhaka
fans. Oh, I believe
fans.
They were from India, I'm pretty sure.
Right, okay.
Yeah, the Granit Xhaka ultras.
Yeah, they were. There was three of them from India in like Swiss gear.
I didn't see this.
We're big fans of Granit and we've come to support him.
Interesting, right, okay.
Absolutely love it.
Is that just the Arsenal connection, I suppose?
Or they recognise quality midfielders.
They do recognise quality midfielders. Yeah. Slight yellow cards.
that was quite good there. Brazil, they were out without Neymar, of course. They did look a little bit blunted in attack, lacking some creativity, perhaps. Is that all down to Neymar missing, or was it the fact that they replaced him with Fred?
Well, they brought on Bruno at one point.
Well,
that
he
helped.
Added a bit more dynamism.
Yeah.
What do you think, Niles, though? They've got a bit on the bench, haven't they?
Well, I think looking at the lineup for this game, without veering too far into serious football chat, looking at the lineup, it was pretty clear that Chiche wanted to not take any chances. Because when one thing is Neymar being out, but Danilo being out as well, the assumption was that means old man Dani Alves is coming in.
Oh, yeah.
But instead, he went Eder Militao, who is basically a centre-half who can run a bit, so you can stick him at right-back as well, and it's kind of fine. So that was kind of a conservative selection as well. It wasn't massively surprising that Fred came in. That was kind of... The people who follow Brazilian football more closely than I do all said, well... Neymar out means probably Fred comes in and Paquetá plays.
And he does well.
Paquetá plays a slightly more attacking role. Fred brings you energy. Casemiro to sit, Paquetá to link. That's kind of the division of roles in that midfield.
He's Jordan Henderson.
Yeah, he is.
I think that can work. I think Paquetá needs to do a little bit more than he did in this game. But I think it was a case of them thinking, listen, the draw here is not a disaster. We don't need to risk a lot and we'll try to probably find a goal from somewhere. And in the end, they did.
Yeah, no, well, fair enough. When you said Dani Alves, the old man, I mean, you're right, he's 39. It's remarkable that he's been called up. But then Thiago Silva's 38 and he was playing.
Yeah.
And as Gary Neville said, it's incredible that Thiago Silva still looks like he's 28.
Yeah, it's remarkable.
It's unbelievable.
It's not just that he's there, but it's the way he moves and the amount of ground he covers and how comparable. I mean, he's not rapid, but for the age, he doesn't move like a 39-year-old. He really doesn't.
He's a remarkable man. Quite frankly.
An athlete.
He is an athlete, yes. There's no two ways about that. Did you see that Rodrigo rubbed original Ronaldo's legs onto his own to transfer the magical powers in an interview after the game?
I like that.
Maybe that magical power, Peter, will give him a little lift for the next game.
Well, maybe they can just bring on that lookalike for that Neymar lookalike in the stand.
I did think Bruno, I'm staying in the series of football chat, lads. I did think Bruno looked positive when he came on.
I think he made a difference.
I know, yeah, Fred does have that thing of being a little bit better for the national team than he is from the club team, and he runs around a lot and they like him for that. But there's something about the forward thrust you get with Bruno and his ability to go past people and pick passes.
I think Fred is a safe choice, and he's one of those choices where, yeah, we look at it and go, well, what's happening there? But actually, he's one of those players that a manager will say, I need him. It's not a question. You can't play fantasy football the whole time.
Yeah.
But I do wonder, with that impact that Bruno Guimarães had in the third game, they're already through, that if they stick him in there and if he actually fits,
plays
and looks
really
nicely,
well, and then, yeah.
We see this, don't we? As teams progress, they're kind of, oh, actually, we've had a tinker there and I think we're better off.
And this sort of Casemiro to hold, Fred to run, Paquetá to link a little bit, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think that works even better if you got Neymar in addition ahead of them.
Yes.
If you take that completely out of the equation, I didn't think Paquetá did enough in that linking role. And then so replacing Fred with someone who actually goes forward a bit, I think there's a logic to that.
Yeah,
I think Guimarães sort of plays his football next to people like Matt Ritchie, so I've got to see he can lift a team.
But you obviously watch him
can't believe his luck. He's like, what? I can look at the options.
You obviously watch him quite a lot, Pete, and he can do everything really.
Do
they've used him as a holding midfielder, but he can also burst forward. Like, he's so good.
Complete footballer.
He
revolutionised the whole side.
The most complete midfielder since Rob Lee at the club?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
Steve Watson, please.
Stevie Watson.
Have some respect.
Yeah, you've forgotten about Genie Ronaldo. Brazil still faves, Peter. Because, you know, we watch a game like that and we think, oh, actually.
Well, everyone's had an oh, actually match, really, apart from maybe France. I don't know.
That's fair.
Everyone's had an oh, actually. So that's what World Cup football is. There is an oh, actually every now and again.
Yeah, and we hate those
oh, actually.
We don't want that. Unless it's a positive one.
That goal wasn't ruled out for VAR.
There you go.
So it sounds like just like the slightly more negative sequel to Love Actually.
What you did at the doorway was a bit weird, mate.
This is all really fucking creepy, guys.
Speaking of potentially creepy things, did you see that Richarlison, when he was asked what he would do when he retires, he says,
it's not creepy, it's wholesome.
Wholesome is not the word I would have used. I'm going to buy an island and stay there with a bunch of women, just like that picture of Ronaldinho.
A bunch of coconuts.
The reason why I'd like to go to this island, because I'd just like to meet Sven.
He'd be the one working in the bar. The one making the pina coladas.
Yeah, no, I don't know if he's working in that sense.
Richarlison would set up this island. He would find women who was happy to go there with him, and was all chilled out about that.
Yeah.
And you'd get to the island, Sven's already there.
Well.
Somehow.
No, he's going to buy the... Where's Sven? I'll buy that island. That's how it works, you see. Excellent stuff. Well, of course, Brazil, they are through to the next round, along with France and Portugal, the only nations that have qualified thus far at the time of recording. It's the first time, by the way, since 2002 that only three teams have won their opening two games. It's quite a rare thing. So every game going into the last round of fixtures in the first round has something riding on it. Even Netherlands, Qatar, of course.
Right.
Qatar have gone, but a battle for first spot in the group is up for grabs.
Mm.
And make the most of it, everybody, because this is the last time we'll have it. Because in the next World Cup, you'll only have 16 groups of three teams, because it's a 48 team tournament.
Right. Okay.
What a load of
There's going to be a group P.
Yeah. Well worked out.
Exactly right.
If indeed you are correct. All right, everybody. On that note, let's have a quick break.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Otra vez, dale, 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 bien, bien, good, 1-0, dale, Victor, come on, Gonzalo, bien, bien, Pizarro, good, good.
I like this kind of work.
Yeah, looks good.
I like it.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Old Fizzer there. Might mention him later. Until we do, though, let's talk about another great game that happened yesterday. South Korea 2, Ghana 3. Huge win for the Black Stars. Very gutting for South Korea. Did you work it out? Was it a P? Did you get the right
calculation? I made a very crude joke, Marcus, and I haven't really considered the internal logic. Right.
And all the...
Richarlison, groupies.
Yeah.
Richarlison's groupies.
There you go. That's exactly what I meant. Thank you. Yeah, let's go with that. Yeah.
Indeed. South Korea 2, Ghana 3, though. Pete Donaldson, a great game of football.
It was a great game of football, and I think the celebrations in Accra just looked like a lot of fun.
Oh, yes.
I wish I was there.
Yeah.
That looks like a lot of fun, actually.
It was absolutely brilliant. Yeah, gutting for South Korea, of course, who came back, but
Jordan, are you whip party?
God,
what?
Well, careful.
That's going blue real fast.
That'll happen. That's Tuesday nights on Richarlison's Island.
Followed by the latest highlights from Group B.
It was a brilliant game, though, and both sides were after a win. Ghana, in particular, of course. Having lost their game against Portugal. Ghana, I think they're the team to watch, aren't they? They're involved in 5-goal thrillers.
They're a team to watch, mainly because they're fun. They're quite sort of attack-minded, and that's how we go.
Very likeable side.
Mohamed Kudus is good value. He's one of those players who just because... Okay, this is entirely subjective, but just because of the way he moves, the balance he has, the way he treats the ball, he's someone you could just watch all day. You know, he's tremendous.
Well, didn't he say he was better than Neymar?
He did say that, but then he walked it back a little bit. Yeah.
Stand your ground, man. You actually can head the... When you meet across, you do get a head onto it.
Yeah, because the journalist he did it with is quite like a known and as far as I'm aware, respected African football journalist, and not someone who I think would just make up a quote. It's one of the things that... It is one of the things that you just don't do in our line of work.
Like
you can mess around with a lot of things in the media, but actually direct making quotes. Up quotes is like one of the things that's
Can you be playful with translation?
Well, I wouldn't, of course.
He's a lovely midfielder. I mean, he scores actually quite a few goals if you look at his goal scoring record. When he kind of arrives like that, of course. I mean, he was playing out wide for Ghana yesterday, but when he arrives like that, you think, blimey, it was wonderful timing, and he definitely did get a touch of his head on the ball, which is not always to be said for other forward players trying to score goals in that group in particular. So they were 2-0 up and in command, but then Pete Donaldson, the South Koreans, had other ideas.
Yes, sir, he did,
they came roaring back, and the big man was there to capitalise twice on crosses into the box. The second one in particular was very pleasing.
It was, yeah. I love goals that could be scored on the knee, like almost on your knees,
yes,
on the head. I think with
a gallant attempt by the goalkeeper with that second goal.
You reckon?
Well, I mean, obviously he's just sort of thumped it right into the roof of the net. If he'd have saved that, that'd have been absolutely astonishing.
Buts and buts. I was very surprised at how annoyed South Korea were when at the end of the match when they'd had 100 minutes to win the match.
Oh yeah.
Well, crying out loud.
I mean, the balls were raining into the box at the end of the game.
They should have had one more corner or something, but
Yeah. Did you see that Ghana fan giving it plenty to the?
Well, he was doing a selfie with the very sad Son Heung-min.
No. That was a member of the coaching staff or one of the subs. There was a Ghana fan like turning round.
Right.
After Ghana, I think after they scored the third.
I just assumed it was a fan because I thought no self-respecting member of any coaching staff would ever consider doing that.
No, that happened. This was in the stands. And he was like giving it plenty to these South Koreans, like shoving three fingers in their face. And the South Koreans are just looking and just going, like giving him the thumbs up, going, yeah. Yeah, you're winning. Yeah, what's this got to do with us? Why are you? We've not been trying to personally stop your team.
Is that the pot man without the pot? They gave him the pot.
The pot man died.
Yeah, there's the more pot men.
Batman. You can have like a bunch of them, and yeah, you always soon for another one.
That's why they gave him. It's not like the Pope. It's not like one goes upstairs and starts rabble rousing in the back of
But we haven't seen a pot though, have we?
I've not seen a pot man, no. But I just thought that might be the pot man. They gave him the pot to calm him down.
Oh, I see.
And so without the pot, he's getting in people's faces.
Is the pot that heavy? It just weighs you down.
Yeah.
You can't, I want to get
heavy,
so
heavy
angry.
Heavy is the pot that sits on the head or something, as the saying goes.
I believe so,
heavy is the head that weighs.
Did you see Paolo Bento, the South Korea manager, was sent off after full time? Anthony Taylor not having it.
Put him back in his box.
Having it was old Anthony.
There was a bit of me that thought, good, you never see him blown up.
Yeah. What's the matter, Lars? Did we miss a joke there?
I think joke is charitable, but...
You threw your arms up, by the way, everybody. He threw his arms up in the air. It was as if Ronaldo missed something.
Yeah.
And then I come to you and you go, well, joke was charitable.
Anthony Taylor told Paolo Bento to get back in his box.
A bento
come
box.
On.
I've never seen a bento box in Korea.
No, exactly.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay,
yeah?
Neither have I.
It's still a thing.
Old Jürgen Klinsmann over there.
I can't. Listen, I can't be waiting for Paolo Bento to possibly manage Japan and be sent off by Anthony Taylor to do that again.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, okay. So I'm glad we cleared that up. It was a lovely win for Ghana. They are a very enjoyable side, and they will, of course, be playing Uruguay in the final group game to see who can join Portugal in the next round. Although South Korea is still in it. Of course, Portugal beat Uruguay 2-0. Two goals, definitely two goals from Bruno Fernandes.
Definitely.
He thought that Ronaldo got the first one. That would have been a stinker because he had a chance for a hat-trick.
Mm.
He had a couple of efforts
late on,
and you think, mate, you could have had three, you could have had it.
He would have known by then, wouldn't he, that it was given it to him?
Like, no, I don't think he would have done,
right?
Because it was in the second half, so it's not like you come in at half-time and go, right, who's got it?
Yeah.
So, he hit the post and then he had one save from the goalkeeper, and he seemed very, very upset that he missed. But the talking point in this game, other than the Ronaldo or Bruno Fernandes goal, was the penalty given against poor old Jose Jimenez, who was adjusted to have handled the ball when his outstretched arm was behind his body. Now, this is IFAB, who create the rules of the game. There was an example, and you can see the screenshots from their sort of presentation on what's a penalty and what isn't. Pretty much, you know, down to the angle, that was an example of when describing it wasn't a handball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That shouldn't have been given as a penalty. Mm. And it was. And it was an absolute disgrace.
Yeah, so something that's caused some confusion here is that a couple of years ago, there was something specific in the laws about how if you're sliding and your arm is under you to cushion the fall, that's not a handball.
Yeah.
That was then taken out again.
Right.
So that's not in the laws now, but you're exactly right. One of the pictures they've used to illustrate what is a natural body movement and what isn't.
Yeah.
They very specifically say the arm under the thing is not handball.
Oh, so you're saying, but the rules have been changed to say that is a handball now?
No, the rules have been changed so that it doesn't specifically say,
okay,
but it has been said to referees in guidance that this is the type of thing that you shouldn't give up for.
I mean, I can't...
blow up for you.
But I mean, that was to seal the
game. So it's 100% wrong.
And that was to seal the game, by the way. In the injury time, Uruguay were coming forward. They'd had a couple of chances.
The only thing I think, can I just throw this in here to be devil's advocate? Now, I believe it's a wrong decision. I've consulted with a former elite level referee who says it's a wrong decision. From the referee's point of view, and declared, you look at the referee, he didn't want to give it. Like when he was coming back from the monitor, he was like, I don't think so, but I guess. Is there a case to be made? What Bruno Fernandes has done that, he's put the ball past the defender, he's about to go collect it on the other side, and will have a huge chance to score if he does, and it gets stopped by the defender's hand. Should that be penalised in some way, would be my sort of completely devil's advocate question.
Indirect free kick.
No, I don't know.
No, I don't think it should.
No, okay.
Yeah, that's my answer.
Okay, that's fair.
There we are. Tell your elite level friend.
No, but he also...
he's not an elite level friend.
I should
he might be an enemy, but he's got access to him.
Yeah. Is he an acquaintance or a friend?
I would say friend at this point.
What would okay, well, we need to ask him.
But no, this is me talking. He said, the call is completely wrong. Yeah. I'm just raising the question.
Was it Peter Walton?
In the game called football, should you be allowed to block really promising moves with your hand, accidentally or not?
I guess if it's accidental, then you've... I mean, literally, you haven't meant to do it.
And that's the winning argument, I think, which I come down on, which is it has to be illegal for defenders to have arms. Like, I mean, it can't be like a thing that all defenders have to have no arms now. That doesn't make, they have to be somewhere. So, and it also comes back down to this whole about, without going into like Ubisoft territory again, but like, I think penalties are OP. The devs need to patch this out of the game somehow. There's a problem with it.
You want to see an indirect or even direct free kicks in the box?
Just something other than 80% of a chance of a goal to the other team.
Yeah.
Like, if there was some other punishment you can give for a foul in the box, maybe if that's not a clear goal scoring opportunity or something, call it an indirect free kick or whatever. I think that would help.
I think you're right.
And also, I think but the whole idea of VAR was not to re-referee stuff. And in this situation, it was a re-referee.
Yeah, that was a stinker of it. Yeah,
that's right. Elsewhere in this game, there was the... We've mentioned it, of course, the first Portugal goal. Hair of God was trending on Twitter. Piers Morgan thought Ronaldo should have been awarded it. Peter, you agree with Piers on a lot of things. Did you agree with him on that?
I think Piers Morgan has to be... Like, he loves Ronaldo because he...
Blasted into outer space.
Nobody would know what talk TV was.
No.
If it wasn't for Cristiano Ronaldo, Rebecca Brooks should be saying that is a goal for Ronaldo.
What a day he had, interviewing Keys and Gray and then sticking up for his little friend Ronaldo. It's peak Morgan, wasn't it? It really bloody was. Oh, dear. I love those billboards in London. You know, love him or hate him, you can't ignore him. May I say that is
the
anecdote.
Look at the viewing figures.
Ignore
look
him.
I've just pushed the mute button on Twitter and it really does improve your life.
You must ignore.
Entirely that's, possible to
that
ignore.
That is the
solution.
Yeah,
we have failed to do so.
we haven't. Oh, no, I see what you mean. Oh, damn it all. Right,
I was doing a job with Peter Shilton and David Seaman as well on different days, and they'd both very recently been on or were going to do Piers Morgan's show.
Right.
And I thought, for one, I thought, yeah, that sounds about right.
Yep.
And the other one, I thought, oh, okay. But it's the Arsenal connection as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because... you said David Seaman was a lovely, lovely man.
The best. The best. Yeah. I mean, I don't know that much about what he said, but I don't think he said much, I would say. He was a real sweetie, and I cannot. I want to hang out with David Seaman more.
Yeah.
He's just very chill. He doesn't do anything. He does a little podcast, and he goes.
He's a fisherman
fish.
Now.
He just fishes.
Let's say someone you want to go fishing with. Seems
He just. He just. He has no interest.
What kind
in
of fishing?
I don't know. So, well,
but is it like the carp stuff, or does he go to the ocean, or is it?
Well, I don't know.
I think he's a trawler.
He's sort of like West London, like kind of Reading way. So I don't know.
Like an actual trawler, like with a big net.
Yeah, no, he just uses his big arms.
His deadliest catch. He's in the Bering Strait. He's in the Bering with all these brawny
boys. He's got really
boys.
Good hands, so I mean, for that, he might be good for that sort of thing. Good balance.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
David Seaman on the deadliest catch.
If you threw fish at him, do you think you'd be able to catch him? Safe hands?
I guess so, Well, he's a seaman, so yeah. He'd be fine out there, wouldn't he?
He's been called worse.
Yeah.
I'm glad we cleared that up.
Yeah.
Luis Suarez came on, missed a decent chance. Yes, his Uruguay side now face Ghana on Friday. We were very let down last Friday by England. But when I saw, I thought to myself, this World Cup owes me a Friday.
Yeah.
And then I saw Uruguay versus Ghana on that Friday. I thought, come on, all to play for.
We could give Ghana a win, they're through. So,
yeah, exactly, yeah. And they get to mug off Uruguay, which is something that they would love to do, I'm sure. Although maybe that's just us projecting that on them. I mean,
I do feel like it would be peak Uruguay after two very underwhelming games to get a scrappy win somehow get through.
A dubious penalty scored by the man himself,
of course.
Which would be, yes, as you say, very, very typical. The Uruguay manager, Diego Alonso, he played down talk of all that stuff in 2000. And 10 at the World Cup, of course, by saying, this is a different situation. You think, okay, fair enough. We will bring all the weapons we have. Well, you know. Yeah. Luis Suarez presumably is his flick knife. I don't know. But
I hate their training top kits.
They're dreadful kits,
dreadful
Uruguay.
Dreadful kits.
Awful. Like,
what are you doing?
That.
What are you doing?
Willie Dean turns up with the blunderbuss. It's from when I was young.
No, Diego Lugano turns up with the blunderbuss and hands it to Diego.
Why is Rodrigo Bentancur setting up an artillery? Bit.
Trebuchet.
Oh, dearie me. Right, everybody. Before we go, Andy and Jules were in the stadium for that match.
They were.
Portugal versus Uruguay. They're going to bring us a very special At The Match very, very soon. That'll be on the old Ramble feed. Looking forward to that. Ecuador versus Senegal, Netherlands versus Qatar, of course. And then later, Iran versus the US and Wales versus England. England need to avoid a four-goal defeat here to qualify. So if Wales can't manage that, they will need to win either way. Wales need to win the game, of course, to have any hope of qualifying. And if they were not to manage a four-goal victory, then they would need to hope that Iran and the US draw, of course. My money, yes. I think I had a draw at halftime and then England to win at full time. And now I think this game's going to be like a 2-0 Wales win. We're going to shame ourselves and squirm through. But Gareth Southgate apparently is mulling on Jordan Henderson, and he might be replacing Jude Bellingham for the game, which won't excite people.
No, I can't see that.
I'm really.
Players who, when he got his 4-year contract last year, his knees just went, put some little wank pant joggers on and just sort of like opened a beer and just sat in the vest going, yeah, we're absolutely done.
I think for those who
Pierce never really been the biggest, greatest defender in the world, and you know, his forward play is just scoopla.
Are you just saying this because he's a Sunderland man?
Yes, and the fact that Gareth Southgate seems to only trust people with MBEs.
Well, I really hope that we don't look back on that Jude Bellingham performance against Iran and go, oh, do you remember that? That was nice.
Yeah, that was nice. That was nice.
We want to see more of him, but let's see what old Gareth comes up with. Some suggesting that Kane should be rested, Wayne Rooney being one of them. But Kane has said, no, it's fine. This is not a big thing. You're making a thing of it.
He's not in charge of that, though, is he? I mean, he's not. Maybe someone who... Maybe you should have some kind of, I don't know, coach or something who decides who plays or not. Rooney, that could be a thing.
Rooney currently looks like the hardest man of all time, though. So I think
I think he's more talking about Gareth Southgate.
Oh, right, okay.
Not doing his job.
Oh, I see.
Your ankles, they need Jesus, and you need to sort of rest for a couple of days.
There you go. Kyle Walker is thought to be going to be back in the starting 11, which does make sense, actually, even if they go for a back four. And the reason why that makes sense, Lars, is because England, presuming that they will go through them, and they really would have to do a big old balls up if they don't go through, will play... teams that are higher in the rankings, all that kind of stuff. And therefore, the back three will be deployed. And Kyle Walker is massively needed in that back three. So therefore, you need to give him some minutes. And safest way to give him minutes would be to put him in a back four and go in for Trippier, who was brilliant against Iran. Everyone had a nightmare against the US, of course. So it kind of makes sense, that one.
Yeah, I was actually a little bit surprised the back three didn't return versus the US. I kind of assumed Southgate would look at the group and plan ahead in different ways for the three different games. But I wonder, do you think like the mood of the nation, do you think he registers it? Do you think he cares? Like people are going, too negative.
I don't think,
I don't think he wants
care.
To get all the attackers on.
Well, I respect the fact that he doesn't care, actually, because no matter what my thoughts were in the previous game, I do respect that because other England managers have been too influenced by the media. Mm. And I know, talking of friends of friends and all that kind of stuff, one England manager in particular, who a friend of mine knows, said, yeah, you under immense pressure to play certain people. And he said, yes, it did compromise me and I regret it sincerely.
Because I think...
It's not Sven, sadly.
This is just a theory. I really think if you'd have asked Southgate in September what formation he's planning on playing for the USA game, I think he would have gone back three with that one. I really do. But then after you spank Iran and everyone has a great time and like it's kind of hard to revert back to it.
He plays a back four more than you think.
Also, Kyle Walker's fitness might be a factor.
But if you look at the Euros, he played a back four more than people actually sometimes
remember.
Even in the final, he switched to a back four at one point. But anyway, that's all gone. Are England just a Phil Foden away from winning the World Cup?
I think there's always some C word on the bench, isn't there? There's always someone who has to, who everyone has to sort of get excited about. It's like, well, we've seen him in England shirt.
We've seen him a lot in an England shirt.
We've seen him a lot in England shirt. I don't remember massive amounts of moments where he's really got any better than he plays for his club side. So it's like, well, there's always somebody, isn't there? There's always somebody. And before the tournament, we were talking about James Maddison. It's just like, there's always someone that we beat the manager with, isn't it? You've got to bring him on.
Bring them all on. Play 13 men. Coward. Yeah, no, it does get a bit like that. Well, hopefully England, for our sakes, Peter, can put in a bit of performance and get a bit more momentum going in, as we assume they are going into that second round.
That should actually be a rule, though, for TV pundits.
What's that?
Whenever they say that person has to play, they immediately also have to say who you're dropping.
Yep.
That's a good shout.
I agree with that.
Because that made my brain explode when we were talking about, oh, he's got to be on the plane. No, he's got to be. Okay, who are you leaving out? Like,
honestly, you're absolutely spot on.
That should be a thing here.
You're absolutely spot on. In the other game,
I'm going to steal that opinion and steal it and use it everywhere else.
Indeed. In the other game, because England-Wales is a derby. In the other game, it feels a little bit like one. USA face Iran, of course. The US have to win to progress. Iran, sitting with 3 points, will fancy their chances. The build-up to this match has been very, very strange. We're not going to get into the weeds of it, quite frank.
Weeds.
I think we should.
Both managers have been trying to focus on the football. Presumably Kiros has come round to that now, rather than the politics. But I will say that US captain Tyler Adams was particularly eloquent in dealing with such questions.
Well.
Do check that out on social media, because he was very, very good.
When the
US manager, what's his name,
Greg Berhalter,
was asked about the US
warships. And also about inflation. I think that's Greg Berhalter being asked about inflation is a huge moment.
That was good. You like counterattacking? Well, what do you think of that?
Yeah. What does Bruce Arena think about the wealth gap? Is Jason Kreis worried about the gig economy and its impact on young people's work prospects?
It's getting a bit, I mean, you know, the political and social discourse is all about whataboutery, but this has been a particularly strange World Cup for this sort of thing.
Yeah.
Is Bruce Arena worried about the whole crypto thing? If it's not going
the crypto crash.
Well, I think we've got to be careful, because sometimes, you know, we want players to kind of delve into a little bit of politics, if you like, or human rights.
Oh, for sure.
No, so our team got tested.
There's footballers speaking their minds about important issues.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Deranged journalist asking Greg Berhalter about inflation. Less good.
Warships.
Actually, I have a dig at the deranged journalist. I am very much a Norwegian media person, and we ask just anyone anything. I mean, anytime a Norwegian person is at a press conference, he will ask whoever's having the press conference about Erling Haaland. And it really doesn't matter if it's a footballer. I'm sure they do this with politicians as well. What do you think about Erling Haaland?
Yeah.
Because it's local.
Yeah. Yes.
Because I remember the last time I was in Norway, in Oslo. I was in at a Bruce Springsteen concert, and it was an interview situation. He, after the practice, it was a sound test, mic test, whatever you call it. Yeah. He sort of knelt down, and all the journalists sort of put their microphones up and asked a question each, right? And I was like, oh, it doesn't matter, I've only got one question, but I'll just steal everyone else's audio and then I'll redub them like
you
I've asked them.
Thief.
But every last Italian journalist went, your dad was Italian, wasn't he? I was like, oh, why would I be asking that as a Brit? Your dad was Italian, Bruce, wasn't he?
Did you just go, what do you think of Erling Haaland?
I'm sure a Norwegian person has asked that of Bruce Springsteen at some point. Yeah.
Just quickly, gentlemen, staying, if you will, with the United States of America, there's some great news concerning the US. It's been reported that Inter Miami are close to signing Lionel Messi. Although Messi's agent has says it's fake news.
Right.
So we shall see. I mean, he does own a home there.
Is this why Dier Beckham took the Qatari coin?
Because it was just to afford these
ridiculous amounts.
Oh, he's got access to all areas. And he was like, here we go. Oi, don't worry, Phil. Don't worry, Fizzer, my old son. I'll get you some big signings. With this little lanyard, you won't believe. Sergio Busquets has been heavily linked as well. They're eyeing up Cesc Fabregas. Luis Suarez as well. I mean, my goodness.
I mean,
this is what we want.
I know this isn't the point.
Yeah.
but like MLS is not a joke league anymore. Like, no. The level isn't horrific.
Who says it is?
So the idea of collecting, I mean, Busquets, Messi, fine, but like maybe also Cesc and Luis Suarez to play like in the humidity of Florida throughout the regular season in the summer there. Like, good luck, guys. I mean, this is...
Is Fizzer the man to gel them all together?
Track your man,
gel.
Messi.
We don't ask what we will
track
use.
Track back.
This I like.
Well, there we are, everybody. We've reached the end of the pod because Fizzer's name has been mentioned. Tomorrow, myself, Jim and David will be back to look back on the final round of Group A and Group B action. Of course, that game, England versus Wales. Ooh-hoo-hoo-hoo. Let's hope that it's not as shite as it was on Friday night. There we are. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. It's been an absolute pleasure having you with us. Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Ta-ta.
Thank you, Lars Simpson.
Thank you, Marcus.
See you soon, everybody.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.